How you doing? Good morning. It's cold out there. You know what? I know that I'm in a different place than California where I grew up, because when I get out of the car and I sit down and I'm looking, we're going through Sunday school, and I looked at my pant legs and it was dirty. It's because of the, you know, all the fun stuff that we have out here. California has no dirt. Did I just lie? We were just talking about that this morning, weren't we? So we're having a wonderful time. You know, if you don't ever come to the Sunday school hour, it is a blessing for the children, for the teenagers, for the adults. So come, because the word is being talked about. It's a good word, and it's a good time together, sharpening swords, the iron sharpening iron there, getting stronger. So, you know, get up a little bit earlier. You know, I do, and I'm lazy, especially in the morning. So blessings upon you guys. It's wonderful to be here with you today. We are talking about actually Jesus' sample prayer that he gave his disciples in Matthew 6, but then I'd like to go and look around scriptures that kind of talk about what we think about what he's trying to get to his people, what he was teaching them. And, you know, we're talking today about your kingdom come. So we went through our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now we're at your kingdom come. And I said, oh, but your will be done and on earth as in heaven. I said, boy, I can't do that in one day. In fact, this subject here can't be done in a year or more or something, because it is a powerful subject. But we'll just do what the Lord has us to do for us today. So we'll just get into this a little bit together. So before we start, though, I think about kingdoms, right? And, you know, in sports, you know, there's kingdoms like the Pittsburgh Steelers were a kingdom. You know, they reigned in the 70s, right? And the Lakers in the 80s. And, you know, my Dallas Cowboys had a great, I think it was in the 90s and stuff like that. So, oh, I love those. That's just saying, those Dallas Cowboys reigned in the 90s. I just had to say that again one more time, just because I just have to live that time. You know, that's it. But Vonda's not here. Ah, shoot. All right. Well, maybe she'll watch. But, you know, there's other kingdoms. There are man-made kingdoms. There are earthly kingdoms as well. And I was just wondering, what do you think were like the top five kingdoms? What do you think? Historians? People who like history? Huh? Roman Empire, what else? Chinese, huh? Persians, what was that? Babylon. Anything else? The Ming Dynasty. So yeah, those are pretty good ones. I think you're pretty good here. I kind of looked up online and just one, I forget, the interest group or something. There must be historians or whatever. But here, you know, just looking at what, the number five was the British Empire. Now, okay, how do you classify the greatest? I mean, how long they reigned, how many people they conquered? I don't know. Okay, I'm not sure the specifics there, but we have to admit, the British Empire was pretty powerful empire, right? And it's still, you know, still known around the world. There's people speaking English around the world because of the British Empire, right? Even though they have funny accents, right? And then you got the Mongol Empire, you know, Genghis Khan and those guys, they were rowdy bunch. And then you have the Arab Empire and, you know, the Caliphate. And they had a huge empire, actually, over the years and stuff like that. And then you come down to the Roman Empire. I think I heard somebody say Roman Empire. Of course, that was a long-lasting empire, as well as number one. Oh, where'd it go? The Persian Empire. So, and I, you know, biblically, I would say that probably in those times, you know, a guy named Nebuchadnezzar was one of the guys that led this, and Cyrus and Darius, and, you know, we read about them in the Bible quite a bit too. So these are just empires. And one thing, it was so interesting that you chose that song this morning, Kevin, because talking about kingdoms, they fall, you know, they rise and they fall. They're here today and they're gone tomorrow. But we're going to be talking about a kingdom that doesn't do that. And we're just actually just taking a glimpse, because like I said, this subject can be a long, long subject and very deep. And I don't understand it all. And this is just my glimpse of what my understanding of it is for it here. You know, like when you talk about the kingdom of God, you're talking about his heavenly kingdom, this awesome God who's on his throne. Right now he's on his mercy seat that we can come to. And then you have the personal kingdom that he, when he sent his Jesus as his personal, that was God, the very image of God coming on earth. All of his fullness dwelled in Jesus. Man, God becoming flesh, right? And then later, in times in the future, still has not come yet, but the thousand-year reign of Christ when he comes back. And then they call it the millennium, right? Is that right? The millennial times. And then you got the new heaven and the new earth, the kingdom in its fullness, when God takes out everything, fires it up, and he makes it anew, a new heaven and a new earth. And he actually lives with his people. And that's the fullness of his kingdom. Wow. Okay, let's all go home, because that's all we need to know, right? So, but today we're going to break it down a little bit more. Before we go on, let's pray. Lord God, yeah, who is worthy to come and talk about your word, especially these deeper things of who you are, Lord? But Lord, we need to know. We need to know who you are more and more so we can walk in your paths with confidence and with joy and with that faith that we talk about, that faith that stirs our hearts and changes our lives and moves us forward to bless others around us so they can receive the kingdom of God just like we did. And what a blessing that is. So bless these words, and that your name be honored and glorified and made known. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. So just kind of going over a little bit about Our Father. We learned that you can only say Our Father if you really are a follower of Christ. I mean, there are a lot of people say, well, God is, our Father. He's our Father of everybody. He's the creator of everybody, so he's the Father of everybody. But truly not so. The only people that can really call him our Father is those who follow Christ and believe in him. In heaven, you know, he's in heaven, he's transcendent, he's over all, he's just beyond our understanding, but he is also a caring God who loves us and knows us. Hallowed be thy name, you know, it's a holy name, it's sacred, it's to be treasured, it is to be made known, and it is to be glorified wherever we go. And that's just kind of like where we are. Today we are in your kingdom come. And I was thinking, well, you know, when we say these prayers, a lot of times, you know, I don't know if you ever went to, I've been to many type of Buddhist funerals and things like that, and they like to chant. And they chant and chant and chant. And a lot of times they don't even know what they're chanting. And I believe a lot of Christians say the Lord's Prayer, but they don't understand. We don't understand what we're praying. We really don't. And we just kind of go through it, you know. It's just something we memorize, and you just boop, 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 boop. You might catch a little bit, but so that's why we're kind of breaking the Lord's Prayer down, so we can understand that we are praying to our Father, our Daddy, the one who really loves us. And when you're praying, your kingdom come, okay, you're loading it up. And we should know a little bit more about that. So, you know, do we really know what we're praying for? All right, well, let's go through it as best we can. We're going to learn as little, you know, much as we can. Well, we know this, what it is not. All right, so earthly kingdoms are things that rise and fall. All right, they're temporary. There's a lot of intrigue and corruption. If you look at the history of all the kingdoms, you look at the United States, all the corruption and intrigue and all that stuff going on from since the time of our formation of this country. You know, it's just a lot of things, the oppression, the injustice. You know, when you look at the kingdoms that men try to set up, you know, they set up and it's just for that temporary time, it's full of a lot of forcefulness. It's a lot of oppression. There's a rare kingdom that can empower everybody in the kingdom. In fact, I don't think there's one. I don't think one. There's only one that does that, and we'll talk about that, what it is, you know. But before we go on, you know, who is the boss? Well, what Steve was reading, he was talking about this King Nebuchadnezzar. Well, what he said at first, you know, he was looking over his kingdom back then, the Persian kingdom, you know, the city of Babylon. And it must have been a beautiful sight. It was, I think, the gardens of Babylon or something was one of the 10 wonders of the world or whatever back then. But here it says, this is his words, read them here. It says, "Is not this the great Babylon? I have built it as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty." Ooh, wow. Did you catch that? And it's beautiful, wonderful, but he's really going, me, me, me. me, myself, and I, right? You know, he's got that focus. Well, God, 12 months earlier, gave him a dream that Daniel interpreted for him and said, be careful of being prideful. you know, give glory to God, you know, because you might be the king here, but he is the overall king. But he didn't really realize that. And when he said this, immediately he was thrust out of his kingdom, out of his royal throne off of that, and into the fields. And he lived like an animal. And some think that it was 7 years that he ate grass. And he had long hair, all this stuff. And they said that there was even a symptom of that too. That a disease or whatever it is, but he lived like an animal until he, as what Steve read back there about, he gave glory to God. He said, what did he say again? What was that again? That was Daniel 4. Let me go back to that here. I think I lost my place. No, I didn't. Here it says, his dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? That is the King of Kings. And he admitted that. And then he was brought back into his kingdom to continue his reign. Whether he became a follower of God, I don't know. But he certainly met God. And he had to be humbled before God to be able to continue his reign. So what is the kingdom of God? Well, just reading this, you know, it's an everlasting kingdom. It's a powerful kingdom, the power and authority. And we talk about that next week more. Righteousness and justice are the throne. I mean, the throne. They're the foundation of his throne. The foundation of his throne is filled with that justice and righteousness. And so when you think about him and all these things about that kingdom and the power and authority, all that, but and then you mix it in there with the man's kingdom, you know, that we bring in, there's a common denominator. You know what it is? When a new kingdom comes, what happens? You change, or you go, you change, or you can be one of those guys getting squashed. You know, even before an almighty God, we change, or there are consequences that we do not enter in his kingdom, in his rest that he offers us. And I have this as a little word because nobody wants to be a quitter, right? But you know what? We're going to learn a little bit today about it's important to be a quitter. We can change the word to surrender. When you change, you must surrender. Right? Yes, you do. You cannot have change without surrender. I'm sorry. You have to give up something to be changed. And God is always knocking at our doors, changing us. See, when you pray, oh, your kingdom come, Father, you better be careful what you're praying. It's kind of like praying for patience. I need more patience, Lord. Oh, boy. All right. You did it to yourself, all right? When you pray that, you're praying that you're going to be changed and you're going to have to surrender your old self. And you're going to meet it Time after time after time. See, because his kingdom is a personal kingdom. It's not a thing of rules where, oh, I got to do this and do that. No, no. It's a personal, it's a heart, it's a kingdom where God has come right into our hearts. Emmanuel, God with us. It's not a kingdom with a guy with a crown and we just throw money at him all the time. He walks around in these purple robes or whatever else and he tells us what to do. No, this is a different kind of a kingdom. It's right here, right in our hearts. A new thing that he has done. An amazing thing. God with us. So what does it look like? Well, Jesus, you know, he brought the kingdom in. And, you know, there's tons of scripture, but you look at it. I just threw some of these things up. You know, he said, it's not of this world when he talked to Pilate. It's not of this world. You know, there's authority. All authority is given to Jesus. That authority when gives us the right to use power in the correct way. It's a kingdom where it rescued us out of the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of the Son he loves, whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. That's the kingdom. It was a rescue mission. In this kingdom, a servant is greater than those being served. Going on and on. You know it all. You got to enter this kingdom like a child, a faith of a child, not like a big old know-it-all, not like somebody that has it all and doesn't need anything. He's got all the plans and stuff of that. You know, you got our kingdoms built. And so when that C word, oh, that dirty C word, that change word comes in our lives, that means change is happening. Your kingdom, you're going to have to give it up. Nebuchadnezzar had to give up his kingdom. 7 years living like an animal, eating grass. Do you want to do that? Well, I would if it got to be with Christ, to be with the King of Kings. It's worth it. I think a lot of people are in that. Maybe they're not out eating grass or being like an animal, but they're going through suffering or even a discipline of God. And how long? 7 years or 7 seconds or 7 weeks or 7 days? I don't know. But we learn to surrender and turn our hearts to God and say, you're king. You're the king of the universe. Have you ever watched the Chosen series? One of these days I'm going to bring it. We're going to do that. And a lot of times they just pray, they're saying, oh, King of the universe, King of the universe. And I just go, oh, yes, yes, King of the universe. You know, his kingdom's a little mustard seed, you know, a little seed you plant in the ground and it grows up to be a big bush. Or, you know, the other day I was making some pizza. Joy showed me how to make pizza dough before she left. So that was nice. And we're still eating it, right, Nolan? Cam? We're still eating the pizza. We're still eating it. You know, and one of the reasons is this. You put a little yeast in, you get a lot. And it was overflowing like this. In fact, it looked like, because I had a green little bowl, and boy, it was coming. I put it by a little heat source, and I walked around a little, you know, a few hours later, I look, and I go, what's on the ground? You know, stuff are globbing out. I'm going, man, you know, it's like a volcano. That's God's kingdom. You see, it starts off little, a one person. Oh, Abraham, one person. Blessed to be a blessing to all the nations of the earth through all history. That's the kingdom of God. It doesn't stop. It doesn't get thwarted. It doesn't fall. It just rises and starts going over the sides, all over the place. And we get to be a part of that. That's here. Do you understand that? That kingdom is here. It's overflowing if we allow it. And yeah, change, oh, surrender has to happen for it to overflow into our lives, to change us, to make us into people that He's going to transform our lives. It's, you know, one thing that's different about His kingdom is very precious, it's wonderful. All other kingdoms, they come in forcefully. Forcefully, there's a coup, something like that. Some type of violent act happens, most of the time anyways. Not with Christ, not with God's kingdom. It is an invitation that He gives. Right now, we are in a dispensation of invitation. He's just saying, come. He's got the card. He's hanging out to everybody in the whole earth, saying, come to me. He's not forcing. He's not. He doesn't have the rules. He doesn't have the laws. He doesn't have the police force or the army or anything, saying, you bow down before me. You come, or you're dead. No. He's saying, come to me. Come to me. And be renewed. To be empowered. See, this is a kingdom that doesn't step on people, but it actually lifts people up. It's a kingdom that doesn't diminish people and oppress them, but empowers people to be more than we can ever be. More. A new start. And we could do that every day before Him. He allows that. That's His kingdom. So when you look at Isaiah 42, and I was looking at this, I'm going, wow, what a precious way of looking at His kingdom and change and all that. You know, here it says, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. You know who he's talking about? He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about Messiah, the anointed one. He came in this world to do just that, to bring justice to the nations. To make things right. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. You know, like, you know, people trying to attract people and build their own kingdom. He's not trying to beat all that. No. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on the earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. This is what God, the Lord says, the creator of the heavens who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people, and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light to the Gentiles, which is talk about us, to open eyes that are blind. Have we heard this before? To open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeons those who sit in darkness. I think we've heard Jesus say that before, haven't we? That's why he came. That's the kingdom of God. Bruised reeds, smoldering wicks we are. What's so wonderful about this kingdom is, see, most people, most great people and stuff in the world will see a bruised reed and just step on it and keep on going. Or pick it up and throw it in a trash or in the water where it could just sog away and float to the bottom. No, but Christ is different. See, when he comes, the bruised reed, which is us, whether we're believers or not, we're all bruised. We're all limp. We're all not looking all that good. We all don't have that much to give, but he picks it up. He sees it at first. He notices it. And he doesn't just keep walking on, but he picks it up. And he puts it in his caring hand. And he walks with it. And he changes it. And he gives it strength to where it rises again. And it's something that it can never be on its own. Never. And a smoldering wick, have you felt like that lately? You feel like your fire is just barely visible or starting to even smoke a little bit on that wick? Well, you know what Jesus does? He doesn't go, he doesn't just put his finger on it and go, boom, snuff it out. No. No, this kingdom is different. See, his kingdom is this, he'll look at it and hold it up. And he'll breathe a new breath of life that will make it rise and cause a spark. And the light will shine bright, brighter than before. See, that's what the kingdom of God is about. So when we pray for ourselves and we say, your kingdom come into my life, into my heart. When we pray for our friends, our family, our co-workers, classmates, people around the world, and we're saying, your kingdom come. This is what we're praying for, or part of it anyways. A loving Savior, a King forever, who can change our lives and mold us and bring us back to life, give us a new start in life, and live victoriously, not limping around, but live victoriously, even in our suffering. Even those, even in a, you know, listening to what was spoken here. You know, people are in their deathbed or they're sick or whatever. Just through the suffering, people just proclaiming Christ's name, Jesus. Oh, that is a witness and a half. It's a witness and a half. Well, I was listening to a pastor this week, I think his name is Kevin, or Keith Kovic. He's in one of the teaching pastor, discipleship pastor in Butler. And he has this young son. And they're having pancakes. I guess they have pancakes a lot. You know, we have pancakes every Saturday. We eat them and stuff like that. But he's pretty much every day for their family. And he has a little boy. And he gave him his pancakes, and boy's sitting in his high chair, and looking at him, and there's the syrup. And the boy goes, oh. And the daddy's, he's saying, he comes up to him and says, well, I'm going to, you know, help you pour the syrup. And his little boy goes, no, no, I do. And then the dad's going, oh, he's got a fork in his hand, and he's going, okay, I'm backing off. Okay, all right, this guy's serious. So he grabbed that syrup, and you know what a little guy will do with the syrup, right? It starts clump, 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 clump. All right, and he just backed off, right? And stuff were dripping all over the sides. Matt, you know this story, do you? Yeah, okay. And then he put that down, and now he started getting his knife and fork, and he, you know, at that age, you know, the dexterity just isn't there where he could manage the fork and a knife and a cut and all that stuff. And he's struggling, and his dad was just waiting. Struggle. And then finally he goes, Daddy, help! Daddy do! And he goes, yes. See, that's what the story is for us. We're going to run up against it. Yes, you are. I am. We're going to run up against these times when we're going to meet our old self. And we're going to have to make a decision. Are we going to continue on the old path? Or are we going to go, Daddy do. Surrender to him. Allow him to just strengthen us, change us, and our lives change. See, because it's all about getting ready. It's all about getting ready. Did you know that? You know, have you ever gone to a camping trip? Stuff like that? What do? You just walk out the door? No, you got to get ready. You got to get all the stuff together, right? All your special snacks and all the equipment, the bedding and stuff like that. Yeah, some people just sleep on the ground, right, Steve? Probably Steve does that. I think just rock as a pillow, kind of like the days of Jacob. Yeah. You are the rock. But you always get prepared for something special. Well, when we're praying the Lord's Prayer, we're preparing, getting ready for this. Have you ever read this in Revelation? Now, my translation might be a little bit different from yours, but you know, Jesus say, "Look, I'm coming soon." And a lot of people say, "Oh, soon." That's a loaded word in itself. But I'm coming soon. And he says, "Look, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me." And then he says, "Yes, I am coming soon." When we pray, "Your kingdom come," we're getting ourselves ready, and we're hoping and praying for others that the kingdom will come in their hearts and that they will be changed. They will be taken out of that darkness that we're talking about this morning. The kingdom of darkness, who does not want us to know the light, but to bring us into that kingdom, an everlasting kingdom. That's what Christ came for. That's what salvation planned from the very beginning after Adam and Eve decided to go their own way. God's plan has been like that the whole time. Let's pray. So, Father, yeah, your kingdom come. Yes. Oh, yes, I know. Change. Oh, change. Oh, but it's a good change. Give us hearts that will be soft and that will be ready to surrender at every moment, Father. That we can become new. That we can be worthy to walk in your paths. And those who proclaim the name of Jesus to others, to connect them to your kingdom, the greatest kingdom of all, the kingdom that is an everlasting kingdom, the kingdom that will never fall, the kingdom that is full of justice and righteousness, of love and mercy and grace, the kingdom that empowers us and gives us life, life everlasting. May we pray this ever so often for ourselves, for our family, for our friends, for all those around us and around the world as you speak to us and call us to pray. And thank you for this, that we can pray such powerful words. We give you the honor and glory in Jesus Christ's precious name. And we all pray this in whose name?
Jesus'
name. Amen. Thank you.